Today is the 7th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian, and it is great to be here with you today as we round the corner on our first full week of this month of October. And we are working our way through the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. So we will pick up where we left off yesterday and continue forward. We're reading from the New International Version this week. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 8 through 9, verse 26 today. How can you say, "We are wise, for we have the law of the Lord," when actually the lying pen of the scribes has handled it falsely? The wise will be put to shame. They will be dismayed and trapped. Since they have rejected the word of the Lord, what kind of wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to other men and their fields to new owners. From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike, all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. "Peace, peace," they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their detestable conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when they are punished, says the Lord. I will take away their harvest, declares the Lord. There will be no grapes on the vine. There will be no figs on the tree, and their leaves will wither. What I have given them will be taken from them. Why are we sitting here? Gather together. Let us flee to the fortified cities and perish there. For the Lord our God has doomed us to perish and given us poisoned water to drink because we have sinned against him. We hoped for peace, but no good has come. For a time of healing, but there is only terror. The snorting of the enemy's horses is heard from Dan. At the neighing of their stallions, the whole land trembles. They have come to devour the land and everything in it, the city and all who live there. See, I will send venomous snakes among you, vipers that cannot be charmed, and they will bite you, declares the Lord. You who are my comforter in sorrow, my heart is faint within me. Listen to the cry of my people from a land far away. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is her king no longer there? Why have they aroused my anger with their images, with their worthless foreign idols? The harvest is past. The summer has ended and we are not saved. Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people. Oh, that I had in the desert a lodging place for travelers so that I might leave my people and go away from them. For they are all adulterers, a crowd of unfaithful people. They make ready their tongue, like a bow, to shoot lies. It is not by truth that they triumph in the land. They go from one sin to another. They do not acknowledge me, declares the Lord. Beware of your friends. Do not trust anyone in your clan. For every one of them is a deceiver, and every friend a slanderer. Friend deceives friend, and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongues to lie. they weary themselves with sinning. You live in the midst of deception. In their deceit, they refuse to acknowledge me, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Almighty says. See, I will refine and test them. For what else can I do because of the sin of my people? Their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceitfully. With their mouths, they all speak cordially to their neighbors, but in their hearts, they set traps for them. Should I not punish them for this? Declares the Lord. Should I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? I will weep and wail for the mountains and take up a lament concerning the wilderness grasslands. They are desolate and untraveled, and the lowing of cattle is not heard. The birds have all fled and the animals are gone. I will make Jerusalem a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, and I will lay waste the towns of Judah so no one can live there. Who is wise enough to understand this? Who has been instructed by the Lord and can explain it? Why has the land been ruined and laid waste like a desert that no one can cross? The Lord said, "It is because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them. They have not obeyed me or followed my law. Instead, they have followed the stubbornness of their hearts. They have followed the Baals, as their ancestors taught them. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. See, I will make this people eat bitter food and drink poisoned water. I will scatter them among the nations that neither they nor their ancestors have known, and I will pursue them with the sword until I have made an end of them. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider now. Call for the wailing women to come. Send for the most skillful of them. Let them come quickly and wail over us till our eyes overflow with tears and water streams from our eyelids. The sound of wailing is heard from Zion. How ruined we are! How great is our shame! We must leave our land because our houses are in ruins. Now, you women, hear the word of the Lord. Open your ears to the words of his mouth. Teach your daughters how to wail. Teach one another a lament. Death has climbed in through our windows and has entered our fortresses. It has removed the children from the streets and the young men from the public squares. Say, this is what the Lord declares. Dead bodies will lie like dung on the open field, like cut grain behind the reaper, with no one to gather them. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh. Egypt, Judah, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and all who live in the wilderness and distant places. For all these nations are really uncircumcised, and even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart. Colossians 3:1-17. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Psalm 78, 32 through 55. In spite of all this, they kept on sinning. In spite of his wonders, they did not believe. So he ended their days in futility and their years in terror. Whenever God slew them, they would seek him. They eagerly turned to him again. They remembered that God was their rock, that God Most High was their Redeemer. But then they would flatter him with their mouths, lying to him with their tongues. Their hearts were not loyal to him. They were not faithful to his covenant. Yet he was merciful. He forgave their iniquities and did not destroy them. Time after time he restrained his anger and did not stir up his full wrath. He remembered that they were but flesh, a passing breeze that does not return. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the wasteland. Again and again they put God to the test. They vexed the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day he redeemed them from the oppressor, the day he displayed his signs in Egypt, his wonders in the region of Zoan. He turned their river into blood. They could not drink from their streams. He sent swarms of flies that devoured them and frogs that devastated them. He gave their crops to the grasshopper, their produce to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore figs with sleet. He gave over their cattle to the hail, their livestock to bolts of lightning. He unleashed against them his hot anger, his wrath, indignation, and hostility. band of destroying angels. He prepared a path for his anger. He did not spare them from death, but gave them over to the plague. He struck down all the firstborn of Egypt, the first fruits of manhood in the tents of Ham. But he brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness. He guided them safely, so they were unafraid. But the sea engulfed their enemies, and so he brought them to the border of his holy land, to the hill country his right hand had taken. He drove out nations before them and allotted their lands to them as an inheritance. He settled the tribes of Israel in their homes. Proverbs 24:27. Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Okay, so let's talk about our wardrobe today. So let's say we have our bedroom closet and it's got our clothes in it, but we also have some things stored away in the basement, hung up, kind of a makeshift closet down there of our vintage wear, things we don't want to get rid of, but we don't wear that much, but we don't want to get rid of it. And let's begin to think of this in spiritual terms, because that's something we don't normally think of in terms of our wardrobe. And yet, at the same time, the Bible describes a type of spiritual wardrobe. For example, the armor of God are things that we are to wear spiritually. And so let's just say, like, our vintage wear, the things that we're holding on to but we don't really want to throw away, the stuff that's down in the basement. Let's say we go down there and look at what we have hanging up and we find sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips, lying. And we don't wear that stuff all that often, but we keep it around because we could run down and grab the t-shirt of lust and throw it on. Anybody can do that. But we don't wear that stuff that much. Our main clothes are in our main closet in our bedroom. And in that closet, we have compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, forgiveness, love, unity. Although we're storing these items in two different locations, it would be hard for anybody to kind of come in and look around at those two different closets of clothes and sense that they belong to the same person. And that is kind of Paul's point from what we are reading in the letter to the Colossians today. The clothes that we don't want to get rid of, that we're holding on to, that we don't wear all that much, that we keep in the basement, are not actually really our clothes anymore. They're the wardrobe of a person who has died. But just for the sake of our description today, let's say we're holding on to those things down in the basement, and we got these things that we try to routinely wear in our main wardrobe in our upstairs closet. But on a regular basis, we try to create combinations out of both wardrobes and then go out into the world and wear those things. Like, can we put on the pants from closet upstairs and everything else from closet downstairs? And because we have something new from closet A that we're wearing that it makes everything else look good? Like, can we wear sexual immorality and, say, gentleness at the same time? Will they complement each other? Can we wear pants of greed and a shirt of compassion? Can we wear anger alongside of patience? Obviously, we are talking about things that won't go together. They will clash with each other. So we're blowing this out into a wardrobe metaphor, but we probably see the point. We're trying to combine things that do not go together, expecting that it will all look fine when it doesn't all look fine. Paul is telling us we've been given a whole new wardrobe, and it's time to get rid of the old clothes because they don't belong to us anymore. We aren't who we were. Those old clothes belong to an old version of us that is no longer living because we have died and been resurrected in Christ. And in Christ, we've been given a whole new set of clothes to wear. And so I quote from Paul, "As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." So if we wear love with any of the other choices in the wardrobe, everything is gonna look great. But we can't put on love and then run downstairs and grab malice and expect it to do anything but look hideous. And as with most people who are getting dressed, we at least take a glimpse of ourselves in the mirror to make sure nothing is out of place and that we look presentable. But some of us can get downright obsessive about how we look and what we're wearing, right? Does this make me look fat? Does this make me look skinny? Does this make my butt look too big? And basically, we're asking the question, do I look well-kept and put together? Do I look relevant and attractive? We ask ourselves those questions. We ask our spouses those kinds of questions. And in terms of a spiritual wardrobe, if we're wondering how we look, we're given an opportunity to examine that from Paul. Paul says, look, whatever you do, whether it's in word or in deed, whether you speak it or whether you act it, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So if we wonder if we're looking presentable from a spiritual perspective, we simply need to ask ourselves, can I do what I am doing in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him? If the answer is, in my words and in my deeds, I could never do this in the name of Jesus, and we're wearing the wrong clothes. But that's not because we don't have something better to wear. We've been given divine clothing, divine characteristics and attributes to put on. We're told to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience and forgiveness and unity and love, which binds it all together. And so let's give some thought to our spiritual wardrobe today. What are we trying to mix and match that cannot possibly look good ever and will never lead us anywhere good? It may be that it's time to clean out our closets. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. This is the type of an analogy that we can understand and get our minds around. And yet we have to confess that we change our clothes spiritually a lot more than we may realize. We try to mix and match things all kinds of ways at all different kinds of times. When you have given us what we should be carrying around, what we should be wearing. And so, Holy Spirit, come and allow us to mix and match appropriately. We can mix compassion with kindness, gentleness with patience, humility with love, unity with forgiveness. But we will never be able to mix any of those things with things like sexual immorality or impurity or lust or evil desires or greed or idolatry or anger or rage or malice or slander or filthy language from our lips. Help us, Lord, because the truth is we've been mixing and matching in ways that make us look ridiculous when you have given us the clothing of royalty to wear. Help us see things as they are, and help us to change. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base. That is home of the Global Campfire. And that is where we gather every day. And so you can also visit and browse around. Also, as an alternative, is the Daily Audio Bible app. That puts it in the palm of your hand. You can download the app from whatever app store works with whatever smart device that you are using. Just search for Daily Audio Bible, and you should be able to find it and download it from there and check it out. Check out the community section, for example. In the community section are different links to get connected on social media to the different channels that Daily Audio Bible participates in. But also in the community section is something that just lives there. And that is the prayer wall. And that is a resource that is always here. Like, there's always somewhere to go. Always. We can always go and share our story and ask our brothers and sisters to pray for us. We can always go there and let our brothers and sisters know we are praying for them and responding to the things that they are asking for prayer for. So it's always there, and it's super important and good to know that it is always there. And you can find that in the community section, whether you're on the website or using the Daily Audio Bible app. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if you find that having a place around the Global Campfire and just having a place to exhale, having a place to know that it's safe and all that's going to happen is that God's word is going to wash into our minds and hearts. And to be able to just relax for that little bit of time in any given day to just know, like, this is a good place, this is a safe place. If that is life-giving to you, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996. Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this prayer is from Derek from California. Brother, I know how you feel being lonely and depressed and utilizing alcohol to numb yourself from all the pain you have. But brother, you're not alone. And in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all your anxieties onto him because he cares for you. I pray in the name of Lord Jesus that he touches your heart and it allows you to be able to see that you're not alone, that you have an entire family of Christian brothers and sisters thinking and praying for you. I pray that the Lord gives you the strength you need to overcome your depression. Have a blessed day, brother. Bye.
Salutations, my dad family. This is his little songbird from Alberta, Canada. And I just heard a call from Judy, like Judy and Steve, at Donna's son, I'm assuming, Alan, is having liver failure. So I want to lift him up in prayer right now. Heavenly and most gracious Father, come before your throne this morning, and that I want to lift up Alan to you, Lord. It sounds like he knows about you, but he doesn't know you personally. So, Daddy, I'm asking, would you be willing to send your spirit to Alan, Lord? Allow him to have an encounter so magnificent, so real, Lord, that he could not deny your very existence. Lord, I ask that you would give him another chance to come to know you, Father, whether it be before his time is finished or whether it be that you decide to heal him, Lord. I'm asking that your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And Father God, I ask that you would just not give up on Alan until his very last breath. And I thank you for these things that you've already started to do that our eyes cannot even begin to see. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We love you, Judy. God loves you more.
Hi, Lisa. This is Lupe. I've been praying for you. I haven't stopped praying for you since the day you told us that you were going through cancer. I want you to know that my family, we pray for you every single night. We pray for healing. I'm going to tell you exactly what I told my son when he was dealing the third time with cancer. I told him that angels were around his bed, and I assure you they are. The Lord is holding you in his precious, precious arms. I want you to please rest and just leave all the prayers to us. We cover you in prayer. We cover you in prayer for all your needs. And the Lord is faithful. Just rest and trust him. We are praying for you.
Beloved family, this is Prisoner of Hope. Altali Halley, I am lifting you up. Heavenly Father, would you help this snoring issue, that you would find a solution to it so that her and Lon can sleep in the same bed in the same room together. Also, I'm lifting up Jason, Tammy, Tracy, Yanni, and Kurt. Lord, that they would be unified and loving. We ask for you to bring peace to this family and to rid this family of any heartache and stress. And we just, if any of them need salvation, would you call them and draw them into your kingdom and save them? Covered in his blood, I'm lifting up Trayvon and his friend Dan. Lord, they're having exams with the Navy, and we desperately ask that all these tests would go well. Would you please give them your favor? Would you help them to get through so that they can be on the path that you've planned for them? A woman called in, and you said people are coming against you, witches who are putting spells on you, and you've had a couple issues with your car since this time. A couple of accidents, I think you said, and that these women will turn to Christ. I just want to tell you, sweet sister, as a child of God, you have been justified by God, and he does not allow his children to be cursed. No one has the power to curse you when you have fallen under God's blessing. God is the only one who's able to pronounce judgment. And in Numbers, Balaam tried to curse God's people, Israel, and found that he could not because God would not allow it, and he won't allow it for you either. That doesn't mean these women couldn't harm you, so I still am going to pray for protection upon you and encourage you to take up the armor of God. Lord, would you ask her, help her to know how to do this? And above all, take up the shield of faith in which she will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And we ask that you do protect her from these women. We ask for you to call and draw these women into your kingdom. They would turn from their evil ways and turn to a life filled with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We ask this in his name. Amen.